From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Justify a two-length lead as they come to the final 16th. Good Magic on the outside is second. Audible third toward the inside. Then it's Still Regard. They're coming to the wire. He's just awesome. Justify has won the Kentucky Derby.
Victory Gallop is still third, but he's coming real quiet. Is a bit leg weary. Victory Gallop is trying. Here's the line. Real Quiet wins the 124th running of the Kentucky Derby.
Welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by FarmPaint.com.
Far outside, a lead run from Giacomo. Giacomo surging, a fleet Alex, closing argument. Giacomo in the final stride to win Derby 131.
He's pulling away by three. Jorge Chavez and Monarcos have won the Kentucky Derby. And the final time was 1:59.45. He was as fast as Secretariat.
Now, here's Mike Pena.
Hello again, everyone. Good morning. And once again, welcome to the show that launched a network. This is the Equine Forum presented by FarmPaint.com on this Saturday morning right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Pena, Baron of the Backstretch, happy to have all of you tuning in across North America on Sirius 219, XM 201, on our affiliates in Lexington, Louisville, and across the country, and everyone who is listening digitally, and you're doing that at horseracingradio.net. Well, look, this is the final Saturday in the month of May, meaning that we are only 98 days, 10 hours, 48 minutes, and 17 seconds away from the Run for the Roses. Think about that. But, hey, on a positive note, we're 3 weeks away from the start of the Triple Crown with a revamped Belmont Stakes at a mile and an eighth. Yeah, I know. We're all living in a bizarro world right now. But, you know, the good news for racing fans, and it has been, quite frankly, over the past couple of months, is that now more and more tracks are reopening. And there have been several who have stood the test over the past couple of months and continued to race. And many horsemen, many racing fans, very thankful that those tracks were able to do that and do it safely, of course. You know, this at least with some of the tracks that are now open recently and currently reopening, it provides us with some semblance of normalcy for all of us who truly love this sport. Laurel Park returns to action today for the first time since March 15th. Belmont Park will welcome back live racing on Wednesday. And at 8:35 Eastern this morning, I'm going to be joined by Maryland native and Maryland-based trainer Lacey Gaudette. She'll talk about that long road back. And she'll talk about what horsemen in Maryland have had to do just to stay in business over the past couple of months. It has not been an easy go for anybody associated with racing in areas that have been forced to shut down for a couple of months. Gulfstream, of course, has been one of the tracks continuing to run without interruption when many other tracks were forced to close. And today, Gulfstream will offer a $1.65 million guarantee on their Rainbow Six wager. That's a pretty good guarantee into that pool. Races 6 through 11 on the Saturday program will comprise the Rainbow Six. And nobody has solved that puzzle for 12 consecutive days at Gulfstream. I'll be joined by their television analyst, Acacia Courtney, the little A, HRN graduate. I love saying that. She'll join me at 9:20 Eastern to walk through all six races in the sequence later today. Churchill Downs has another big weekend on tap. 11 races coming up later today, including the Grade 3 Winning Colors and the Grade 3 Mint Julep. And, of course, no surprise to see Louisville native Brad Cox in the spotlight in both of those races. He'll saddle the morning line favorite Break Even in the Winning Colors, and he'll saddle the morning line favorite and the second choice, Juliet Foxtrot and Beau Recall, respectively, in the Mint Julep. And Brad will take time to be with me at 9:40 Eastern. He's going to talk about those contenders. And there's a pretty good chance that we might even touch on a filly by the name of Monomoy Girl in that interview. She was pretty good in her return to action a couple weeks ago. I'll get a chance to talk to Brad about all those horses 9:40 Eastern time. The truly disappointing news of the week comes from the Triple Crown Trail. Undefeated 3-year-old Nadal retired after a condylar fracture was discovered in his left front leg following a workout this past week. Nadal is going to be fine. Thankfully, he will be fine and he will stand stud. Those plans not yet announced. It's sad news for his connections, and it's sad news for the Belmont Stakes, which lost some star power as Nadal was expected to compete in that race on June 20th. Owner George Bolton will be with me at 9 o'clock Eastern to talk about Nadal and to talk about the disappointment of losing the leader. He was the points leader on the road to the Kentucky Derby. And, you know, what if the Derby were run as scheduled on the first Saturday in May? Would we be talking about Kentucky Derby winner Nadal on this Saturday morning? Now, we'll never know, but obviously ultra-talented, and he was coming up to that Belmont Stakes the right way after that win in the Arkansas Derby. But I'll talk to George Bolton, 9 o'clock Eastern. This past Thursday, Hall of Fame jockey Mike Smith joined the Big A, Anthony Stabile, and Bobby Newman on our Red Brand radio show, which, by the way, you can catch that show every Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday afternoon from 3 to 6 Eastern, Sirius 219 XM 201, streaming at horseracingradio.net. But Mike Smith joined the Big A and Bobby, and it was a really, really interesting interview because not only have trainers and owners had to adjust how they approach the game in this pandemic era, with many racetracks not running, the racetracks that are running were not until very, very recently now, allowing owners on site. The Stronach Group is just starting to do that at Santa Anita and Gulfstream, which is welcome news. So owners and trainers have had to adjust. Fans have obviously had to adjust because you can't go to the races. Well, jockeys have had to adjust too. And Mike Smith, who has really seen it all in his stellar career, has, like all of us, never seen anything like this. And it's a very unique situation for the jockeys at Santa Anita. And Mike's going to talk about what they're going through, what the protocols are that are in place. And quite frankly, there were things that I did not know about as I listened to that interview. I think you're going to enjoy that. That interview is going to come up after our first commercial break, right around 8:15 Eastern. And a bit of a spoiler alert here. Mike begins the interview talking about his ride aboard the Great Holy Bull, the 1994 Travers. And as everybody who has listened to this program now for more than 17 years, you know my all-time favorite horse, Holy Bull. Hands down, no doubt about it. So it got me thinking because I remember that race. I remember exactly where I was sitting. I was with my brother at Saratoga, obviously. One of the very few times that my brother has actually gone to the races with me. And we were way, way down the grandstand, down toward the top of the stretch. We were in section X, section Y, way down the top of the stretch. And I never will forget watching Holy Bull and then seeing Concern in those gold colors start moving along the rail and coming after him on the turn. And I thought, oh boy, here we go. But Holy Bull somehow able to gut it out and hold on. And Mike starts talking about Holy Bull and the 1994 Travers. That's how he begins the interview that you're going to hear in a few minutes. But it got me thinking, what is the greatest race you have ever witnessed in person? And that's our question of the day. You can go to our Twitter feed, at HRN on Twitter. You can go to Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook and let me know your thoughts. I'll try to update those as we move throughout the program. But what is the greatest race you have ever witnessed in person? I mean, certainly that one, for me, is right at the top of the list, the 1994 Travers, considering the fact I was such a huge Holy Bull fan and the way it played out and the drama with Concern running at him and Holy Bull gutting it out and being able to hold on. But there are others. You know, we've been so fortunate now with HRN to provide the coverage of so many unbelievable races. And as I was getting ready for the show and I was thinking about this question, I started to really reflect on some of the moments that we have been part of. You know, races like Zenyatta. I mean, those are easy ones. Zenyatta comes to mind. American Pharoah winning the Triple Crown and hosting the national radio broadcast of that race is certainly really, really special. And I can still picture American Pharoah coming down the stretch from our vantage point above the finish line. Rachel Alexandra beating the boys at Saratoga in the Woodward. That was a cool one. Now, that was cool because at that time, our broadcast position was out back by the paddock. The old shoe board. If you've ever been to Saratoga, there's an old shoe board. And we started the network when we first started and started going to Saratoga. That's where we were positioned. So we were out back by the paddock. Couldn't see the racetrack, obviously. But I can still, to this day, I can still remember the chills going up my spine. And the Tom Durkin's call, Rachel Alexander raises the rafters at the Spa. And the with our headsets on, you could feel it. You could just almost feel the ground shaking, even out by the paddock. It was something that I'll never forget. That feeling, that moment, that roar, pretty cool. So that, you know, those are a few for me. There are many, many, many more. When you think back on all the Breeders' Cups that we've had the privilege to broadcast and the Kentucky Derbies now. The Preaknesses, you know, big brown barrels through Baltimore. That was another cool one for us. But there have been many, but those are a few that stand out to me. So what is the greatest race you have ever witnessed in person? Go to @HRN on Twitter, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook, and let me know your thoughts. You can also email the show, mike@horseracingradio.net. Feel free to send me an email and let me know your story. The greatest race you have ever witnessed in person. All right, so busy program kicks off with Mike Smith, that interview coming your way momentarily after this first break. Lacey Gaudet will join me right around 8:35 Eastern, owner George Bolton at 9 o'clock, Acacia Courtney from Gulfstream at 9:20, and Brad Cox coming up at 9:40. In between, we'll have our industry star of the week. You'll hear from trainer Dwayne Lucas reflecting on the great winning colors in that Kentucky Derby victory when she beat the boys that day. And our Kentucky Bred Spotlight segment comes up later in the second half of the program as well. All of that on a loaded equine forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. It's all presented by FarmPaint.com.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
Hello, I'm Eric Hamelback, CEO of the National HBPA. Thoroughbred owners and trainers know the importance of keeping their horse on schedule, on the track, and injury-free. Even a small injury can result in losing precious time and serious money. That's why farms worldwide trust KeepSafe V-Mesh Fence from Red Brand. The strong mesh design flexes on impact and reduces injuries, keeping your athletes on schedule and on the track. Learn more about KeepSafe V-Mesh Horse Fence at redbrand.com.
Hi, this is Joe Nicholson. During these difficult times, the team at Nicholson Insurance Agency sends best wishes to all for good health. We can all look forward to better times ahead when this pandemic is behind us. But in the meantime, we need to stay safe. Although the staff at Nicholson Insurance is working from home, phone calls into the office are forwarded so that service remains intact. Customer service professionals continue to be ready, willing, and able to help you with your insurance needs, whether it be equine, farm, home, auto, business, or life. Several of Nicholson Insurance Agency's companies are returning portions of auto premiums because of reduced travel during the isolation period, which I think is the right thing to do. Please call 859-224-7080, Nicholson Insurance Agency. Thank you.
The Florida thoroughbred industry is celebrating 75 years with the Florida Thoroughbred Breeders and Owners Association. And what a successful 75 it has been. Florida breds have won 19 Triple Crown races, 52 national championships, while along the way making 170 racehorse millionaires and garnishing 66 Eclipse Awards. Most recently, Florida bred Starship Jubilee was named Canada's Horse of the Year. The FTBOA, celebrating 75 years. Join Florida for the next 25.
Hi, I'm Leah Jarmati, and I love listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by FarmPaint.com.
And Mike Smith lets the bull roll. He's in front by five as they come to the quarter pole. But there is cause for concern. Concern comes on. Second on the outside. Tabasco Cat is well behind in third. They're coming down to the final furlong. Mike Smith asking Holy Bull for everything he has. Concern is coming hard under Jerry Belly. It's still Holy Bull desperately trying to hold. Concern of final thrust. But it is Holy Bull as game as a racehorse can be coming down to the wire. Holy Bull wins. What a hero! Concern came through at the end, and it was 15 lengths back to a Belmont Stakes winner.
Tom Durkin at his very best, the 1994 Traverse Stakes, Holy Bull holding off that late charge by Concern. Mike Smith was in the saddle that day, and as I told you, I was in the grandstand, section X, section Y, way down the top of the stretch, and it was quite a scene that day at Saratoga. Again, our poll question this morning at HRN on Twitter, looking back on top races that you have been a part of in your racing career, so to speak. And that poll question goes like this. What is the single greatest race you have ever witnessed in person? And you can do that at HRN on Twitter, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook. Well, Mike Smith joined Anthony Seville and Bobby Newman Thursday afternoon on our Red Brand Radio program, and he joined them to talk about the situation that jockeys are facing at Santa Anita, which was, there's some fascinating things in this interview that I think you're really going to enjoy. But Mike, Big A and Bobby played that race clip, that call of Tom Durkin, Holy Bull, as they were beginning the interview, and Mike reacted in kind.
Mike, it's Anthony and Bobby here. Does it ever get old hearing that call, hearing Tom in that 94 Travers?
No, it brings up some great memories. I was actually just showing someone that same video about a week ago, actually. I was talking to Flavian Pratt, and he was asking me about old good horses I used to ride. I asked him if he ever watched Holy Bull Run. He goes, no, not really. And so I pulled up a lot of videos, and that was the last video that I'd shown him of Holy Bull.
So a week and a half ago, so you just wrapped that conversation up with all the good horses you've ridden in your career, correct?
No, it was just funny that you guys picked that one, because I was just showing it to, like I said, to him, and I was talking about how great a horse he was.
That the I'm sure that's high up there on the list, but is that, let's go to Saratoga for me. Is that the most memorable Saratoga moment of your career?
Oh yeah, I mean, I've been blessed to have won a lot of great races there, but. Yeah, Holy Bull will always hold a special place in my heart. As far as, you know, the great horses that I've been blessed enough to have ridden, he was the one that the first time that I really saw the people get behind, you know, where they had signs, the people wore their T-shirts, and everybody was Holy Bull this and Holy Bull that. And then, you know, I'd ridden a lot of good horses before, but I never saw the crowd, you know, get behind a horse a lot like they did him. And he, I mean, to a big extreme, actually, the only horse that I thought maybe probably got a bigger crowd or a bigger following was Zenyatta, you know.
Yeah, and you certainly know about the great race mare Zenyatta. So, Mike, you have been around the world. You've been doing this over 25 years, 30 years. I know you're 25 years. You've been doing this over 30 years now. Unprecedented times we're living in. We talked to Frank Miramati, the voice of Santa Anita, yesterday. Of course, you guys have some unusual protocol going on over at the Great Race Place right now. And Frank touched upon yesterday, you guys are actually, the jockeys check in Friday, and you guys don't leave. Tell us a little bit about the living conditions right now, basically on site at Santa Anita Park.
Yeah, you know, L.A. County has been hit the hardest as far as the COVID virus. They have a lot of cases around here, and probably the most amount of deaths. So the protocols are a whole lot tougher than, so say, you know, Long Beach, where Los Alamos is only about 45 minutes away. They don't have to quarantine like we do, or up in Golden Gate. But we'll take a test every Wednesday morning. We take a test, and then we clear on probably late this afternoon, the test clear, and then in the morning we all go into our little trailers that we have assigned to us, and you stay there the nights that you ride. So right now we're racing 3 days a week, so you're really only in there Friday night and Saturday night. Of course, last weekend was a longer weekend, so it was 3 nights that we were in there. But yeah, you check in on Friday morning, and then you get to leave as soon as the races are over on Sunday, and then the whole routine, you know, starts over again as far as you take another test on Wednesday, the following Wednesday, and as long as you clear, you go back in again. And, you know, you have a quarantine area, a designated area that you can stay in, and you can't get out of that area until it's time to leave.
Do you guys interact at all while you're there for the weekend? Are you guys allowed to interact?
Yeah, we get to hang out with each other because we've all tested, of course, negative. So, yeah, we're all in these, they call them star wagons. They're these trailers that they use for the movie sets. Right now, you know, they're not making any movies, so Santa Anita was able to acquire them, and to be honest with you, I mean, it's like luxury camping. I mean, each trailer is a two-bedroom and has a divider, you know, has a kitchenette, shower, man, you got your smart TV, and they got great accommodations for you. They got, you know, 24-hour kind of service for you as far as, you know, coffee, water, milk, whatever it is you need, snacks, and then at nights they have dinner for us. It's really, Santa Anita's gone above and beyond what they probably even needed to, you know, to make this work. And so I got to really, really give them, you know, take my hat off to them for doing so.
What was the initial reaction as a whole from the jocks room? Was there any kind of resistance to this at first? You know, as one of the elder statesmen, obviously.
Sure, all of us. I think anyone would... telling you're going to have to go live in a trailer. We were all like, what? You know, I only live about a mile and a half from Santa Anita, and I can quarantine myself in my own house. Why do I have to live in a trailer? You know, we were just so happy to get back to racing, and that's what the Board of Health required of us, to get back to racing. And you know what? We're going to have to sacrifice. And so we all did. But in doing so, like I said, Santa Anita really stepped up to the plate. They made it about as comfortable as possible, man. It's really not bad at all. It's actually pretty nice. We've all kind of had a good time getting to know each other a little better. And then, you know, when the races are over, we have a nice dinner. We have movie night, and smoke a cigar, play a little poker, and go to bed, man. It's pretty good. I'd like to tell you we're really roughing it out there, but it's actually really nice.
You teaching them young bucks a little racehorse rummy, a little point?
Oh, we're doing all kinds of, yeah, we're teaching them all the old card games. You know, back in the day, we used to play a lot of cards in the jocks room. They don't do that anymore. So, yeah, they're learning the game pretty quick. But I'll tell you, it's funny. Irad Ortiz was here last week, and he had to stay for a few days, and he had to stay in quarantine as well with us. And he absolutely loved it. I mean, if you get a chance to talk to him about it, he'll tell you how nice it is.
Yeah, we'll see Irad back here at Belmont next week, opening day, of course, on Wednesday. So, from the living conditions to the riding, I know it's there's plenty of protocol there, and like you said, Santa Anita's really gone above and beyond to get back racing. From the competition standpoint, you have, again, you've ridden all over the world. So you go to Santa Anita, and for all intents and purposes, anybody who was there for the 2009 Breeders' Cup Classic with Zenyatta, said it was the loudest they've ever been in a racetrack. And you were aboard, of course. You had the best seat in the house. And rebel roused a little bit. You had that crowd on its feet and yelling and screaming. What kind of mindset is it now to ride past those same exact stands and have nobody in them?
It's quiet. It's really quiet. We can actually hear each other a whole lot better. I can tell you that much. I can actually tell you now if someone's coming on me, I can hear it a whole lot clearer. I don't even have to take a peek under my arm or even look into the big screen. I can actually hear if someone's coming So that part is crazy. You can hear people yell a whole lot clearer. And you know, it is, you know, there's nothing like a great fan base, man, to put the electricity in the air and kind of get you pumped. But, you know, we're right now at this point, man, we're so happy just to be racing. And, you know, you're so focused and riding once the race starts anyway. But, you know, certainly in the post race going out there, and if you're blessed enough to have won coming back, man, there's no hurrah or no one, you know, cheering and screaming for you. As a matter of fact, you take a quick picture by yourself and you go back in the tunnel. So that part of it's pretty boring. We can't wait to get the fans back for that. But at least we got the sport going again, and people are able to watch and bet from home. And so right now we're just going to have to deal with that until we get the fans back.
Mike, Bobby Newman here. Anthony touched on the fact that, you know, you rode Zenyatta throughout her career. Looking at the list of big-name runners that you've had the pleasure of riding over the last 35 years or so, Awesome Again, Azari, Cherokee Run, Giacomo, of course, in the Kentucky Derby. We heard Holy Bull earlier, Justify to the Triple Crown victory, Lure, Palace Malice, Royal Delta, Shared Belief, Skip Away, Sky Beauty, Songbird, Thunder Gulch, Unbridled Song, just to name some. But for most of us around this age, one of the most impressive races that we can recall was the 2017 Dubai World Cup won by Arrogate, where it looked like he was hopelessly left at the start and not only won the race from dead last, passing everyone in the race, including Gunrunner, and winning by daylight. What do you remember about that day in that particular race?
Well, what a relief it was to win after everything that happened at the start. I mean, I honestly thought that if he ran his race and got his opportunity, I mean, he should probably put this field away pretty handy at that time. You know, he was just an incredible racehorse, you know, but getting left like that and spotting a field of that talent, man. I mean, again, you said, you know, I ran by Gunrunner, you know, to win the race, you know, spotting him anywhere from 10 to 15, maybe even further lengths, and for him to go ahead and make that ground up. And again, not only win the race, but kind of won the race well in hand. I mean, I got after him just enough to get on by everybody, and I just let him kind of coast on in that last 16th of a mile, which was an incredible race that he ran. You know, in doing so, it might have taken a little bit of toll on him afterwards. You know, his last couple of races, he certainly didn't get the opportunity to run like he did before. But wow, if you were ever going to pick a time to just, you know, run out of your skin, that was the day. Again, it was, you know, it was too bad that had to happen really at the start, because maybe we would have seen him finish the year out a little stronger. But I think it showed how talented that horse truly was. He was just an amazing racehorse.
Talking with Hall of Famer Mike Smith. And I have to tell you what, after that list Bobby just led, I'm not going to call you the King of Queens anymore. I'm just going to call you the King.
Man, I like to have a big old chalkboard with all those names on there and hang it up in my house. I actually have a thing of some of the champions I rode, but, man, there's a lot that Bobby named there that I don't have on there. I'd like to put them all on there.
Yeah, it's a long list, and it's a well-deserved list. So, not many people in the...
A lot of that has to do with my age, too. I've been around a long time.
Well, that's what I was going to say.
The opportunity.
Songbird into Arrogate. You know, I love my Songbird. Songbird into Arrogate. Justify the following year. These are all after the age of 50 in a game where this just doesn't really happen a lot. And now you get hit with something like this, and I hate to be the one, but do you start to think that, you know, if this is going to be how it's going to be for a while, is the end nigh?
Well, you know, to be honest with you, Tony, when this first all hit everything, I thought, shoot, this could be the end of my career, man. If we don't get back started, I don't know if I'm going to, you know, I mean, I'm healthy. I'm in great shape. You know, one thing I did right early on was, you know, really picked up physical fitness and made it a way of life. And man, it's really paying off in my later years as far as, you know, being an athlete. I mean, I'm as every bit as good a shape now as I was in my, you know, mid to late 30s, to be honest with you. But what it did do, which was crazy, was I of course, you couldn't go into a gym, so I needed to stay busy. I needed to stay fit. I wasn't going to just sit around. I think I would have just how I gave up, if that was a point. But what I did was I just doubled up on my cardio, man. I mean, I started, you know, where I'd run a 10K every morning, which is like 5 miles, 5-6 miles every morning. Come home, eat a light lunch, rest a little bit, watch a little TV. Mid-afternoon, jump on my bike, man. I'd ride anywhere from 15 to 20 miles, and I just did that every day. Every day until the time we just started back last week, and I can honestly tell you that I think I'm fitter than I was when we stopped as far as endurance-wise, because, man, I rode the first 2 weeks, and I had a heck of the first 2 weeks, and I felt just absolutely wonderful on the horse. So I'm kind of liking this, you know, right now, and I'm thinking maybe this will, you know, make my career even a little bit longer than I was expecting. You know, I was liking, you know, I want to go another couple of years, but, man, if I can stay like this, I might make another 4 years.
That's Hall of Famer Mike Smith, and some great stuff from Mike. And that, you know, those are things that you don't often think about, the conditions that the jockeys are, well, living in, quite frankly, in quarantine when they go to Santa Anita. And again, there were things there that I didn't even realize were going on behind the scenes. And kudos to Santa Anita for at least doing everything they can to make those riders comfortable in a very difficult situation and trying to do the best that we certainly can. But my thanks to Mike for taking the time to join the Big A and Bobby this past week on Red Brand Radio. Don't forget that wagering with Keeneland Select is a great way to support hardworking backstretch community during this unique time. And here's the deal. We're sitting here on May 30th. This goes through the end of the month. So you want to go to Keeneland Select now. If you bet online with Keeneland Select during the month of May, proceeds will fund Nourish the Backstretch, which is a partnership that's powered by Keeneland and the Bluegrass Farm Charities. It provides weekly meals and groceries to the hardworking stable community at Keeneland and the Thoroughbred Center here in Lexington. So go there now. You have a couple more days to do this, one more weekend. Sign up at KeenelandSelect.com with promo code HRRN20. That's HRRN20. That's the promo code at KeenelandSelect.com. And start making your wagers today and really help those folks who are working so hard behind the scenes. It's Nourish the Backstretch. All proceeds going to that wonderful cause through Keeneland Select. So make sure you do that. All right, well, still to come, I'm going to visit with Lacey Gaudette. She'll join me in the next segment. We're going to talk about racing returning to Maryland. You're going to hear from Dwayne Lucas. You'll hear from owner George Bolton talking about the retirement of Nadal. You'll hear from Acacia Courtney as she handicaps the entire Rainbow Six with me right around 9:20 Eastern, and trainer Brad Cox with me toward the end of the program. A lot of things to get to. It is time now for your Lexus Legends of the Turf, brought to you every Saturday at this time by the Lexus Store of Lexington.
In early October of 1920, amidst full pastel resplendence of early fall, some 30,000 racing fans gathered at Kenilworth Park in suburban Toronto, Canada, in eager anticipation of the much-ballyhooed match race between Sam Riddle's Titan of the Turf, Man o' War, and the 1919 Triple Crown winner, the first ever, by the way, Sir Barton. Man o' War was regarded as virtually invincible in many racing quarters and was an overwhelming favorite amongst those in attendance to defeat Colonel Ross's superb four-year-old. The distance was 1¼ miles, the purse $75,000 plus a $5,000 gold cup. There had been a modicum of controversy generated among racing fans when Earl Sandy, the regular pilot aboard Sir Barton, was replaced for this particular race by Jack Keogh. Commander Ross, the horse's owner, felt Sandy was not riding in top form at that time. The rider aboard the immortal Big Red was his customary reinsman, Clarence Cummer. As a matter of fact, Colonel Ross had first call on Cummer's services, but he deferred to Cummer's wishes in allowing him to ride Riddle's horse. Colonel Ross said, quote, "My action is taken without any prejudice to Sandy, and I am only exercising my right as owner of Sir Barton." The two horses answered the call to post and paraded before the stands looking absolutely fit on their way to the gate. Man o' War looked about nonchalantly as though this were an ordinary occurrence. Henry Morrissey was the starter, and he waited until both champions were perfectly ready. Then he sent them on their way as the webbing flew up, and to the huge roar of the vast throng, the race that was billed as, quote, "the race of the century" was indeed underway. Sir Barton was well away, and he took the lead for the first 16th, but that was all. Man o' War was quickly given his head by Cummer, and he shot by Sir Barton to establish a clear lead as he went the first quarter in a rapid 22-3. It was man of war by two open lengths and still somewhat in reserve by Kummer as he hit the hop in 46-2, three quarters in 111-2. Keogh wrapped Sir Barton a couple of times with a stick but could get no more out of him as man of war coasted into and on around the turn, coasting while galloping freely with those long, smooth strides for which he had been well noted. By the time they hit the top of the stretch, Man of War had opened up to a three-length advantage after clocking a mile in 137-4. Kummer glanced back at his rival, who was struggling valiantly while fully extended but not closing a single inch of ground. Man of War was just breezing along in synchronized motion and continued to increase his margin, cruising to the wire a winner in smashing fashion by an open seven lengths. The final time was 2:03 flat, and Kummer later said, quote, "It was about as easy a score as Man of War had ever chalked up. It was the lope for the last quarter. Had he wanted to, he could easily have gone a couple of seconds faster. It was far faster than I expected, and I knew Sir Barton had no business with Man of War after we had gone the first quarter," end of quote. But Sam Riddle was his customary modest self after the winning effort of his stalwart, and Commander Ross, a losing owner, was among the very first to offer his congratulations. It all happened on a resplendent fall day in a beautiful setting at Kenilworth Park in suburban Toronto, Canada, October of 1920. A truly great moment in thoroughbred racing.
Visionary design, visceral performance, and imaginary technology. That's Lexus. When every detail, every moment, and every emotion is crafted by Lexus, it leads to amazing. Experience artistry that inspires, design that compels, and engineering that excites. This is Mike Pena, and I can tell you personally, as a Lexus owner, the enjoyment you'll experience from driving any of the Lexus model lines is unparalleled. Visit the Lexus store of Lexington today and see what I've been talking about for nearly 15 years. The people truly make the difference. Lexus has also been a longtime supporter of the horse industry, with a Keeneland shop located at the Lexus store of Lexington and through their sponsorship of Keeneland's Lexus Raven Run Stakes each fall. And remember, when you go to the Lexus store, ask for the Godfather, Tony Attiano. Talk horses and experience amazing in your brand new Lexus.
Time-tested Broken Vow continues to deliver quality black-type stakes horses at a 15% clip. The top son of Unbridled has sired over 150 black-type horses, 80 black-type winners, and over $75 million in earnings. Among the 12 black-type horses sired by Broken Vow in 2019 was dual Canadian Classic winner Tone Broke, winner of classic races on dirt and turf. Also the sire of Imprimis, the speedy Keeneland graded stakes winner of over $440,000. Give your mare a great start with a proven sire. Broken Vow, standing at Pin Oak Stud.
The National HBPA is a coalition of over 30 individual affiliates in the United States and Canada, comprised of thousands of thoroughbred owners, trainers, and breeders, committed to the positive future of thoroughbred racing while working to increase its popularity and uphold the highest standards of welfare and integrity. Stop by to visit CEO Eric Hamelback at the National HBPA headquarters in Lexington, Kentucky, and see what the HBPA is doing for you.
First crop two-year-olds by Airdrie Studs Upstart are the talk of the industry. At the OBS March sale, all six offered were sold for an average of $260,000, a spectacular return on his $10,000 stud fee. The $600,000 sale-topping colt out of Blue Burrow was one of two upstarts purchased by leading agent Mike Ryan, who said, "We won't find a better horse this year." Upstart has sired 101 first crop juveniles of 2020 and stands at Airdrie Stud for $10,000 stands and nurses. Think about it.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence educating and developing industry leaders for over 33 years. Classes are taught by industry experts in the state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by FarmPaint.com.
Thy wheels are towering the toss. Merrily, my merrily, thy gleaming sword will never rust. Merrily.
Yeah, one of the great moments in all of racing when the horses come on to the track for the Preakness Stakes, the playing of Maryland, My Maryland from the U.S. Naval Academy Glee Club. And that is a welcome sound that racing fans across the country will get to hear again on October 3rd with that rescheduled Preakness. But before we get to that point, we do have racing resuming in the great state of Maryland. And who better to talk about that than trainer Lacey Gaudette here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Lacey, Mike Penna here in Lexington, Kentucky. Happy to have you on board. Lacey, can you hear me?
I can now. There you go.
There we go.
It was cutting out a little bit, but I got you now.
Yeah, no problem. Hey, listen, I thought this would be appropriate considering that racing is getting back to some sense of normalcy in Maryland today. The doors are opening at Laurel Park, which is a great sign. And I know that it has been a struggle for the past couple of months with every horseman in the state, including yourself. So I want to make this segment, which is presented by Stuart Morris, our industry star of the week. And the industry star is not just you, Lacey, but every horseman who has been dealing with adverse situations in Maryland over the past couple of months. So congratulations to you and to every horseman for hanging in. And today there is a light at the end of that tunnel.
Yes, well, thank you, Mike. And we are really excited to be back up and running today. It has taken a lot of work and a lot of patience by everybody here at Laurel. And we're just excited to get back in, like you said, some sort of normalcy and back into the swing of things.
Yeah, what? Take me back through these past couple of months, Lacey, for people that don't understand how difficult this has been for people like yourself and other horsemen who are based there in Maryland. You don't have an outlet. You don't have any place to run your horses. You can't really ship anywhere because other racetracks were shut down and there's different protocols in place now. How difficult has it been?
It's been really difficult. We've been on the lucky side that we do own a majority. I mean, we own a majority of our horses, and that's a good and a bad sign. But all of my owners have been extremely dedicated and patient, and it's just been exceptional that we didn't have to lay off any of our help. That was very important to us to be able to keep the team together that we have, and it was hard to afford. And in every sense, from a small stable to a large stable, you have a lot of overhead, and we have to be here every day, and you can't really – you know, we're not like a restaurant. We can't close our doors and just come back whenever the economy starts back up. We have to be here and take care of these horses. And the whole East Coast, we had no racing. Nothing looked promising for a while. And then you do take the risk of, you know, we did have our borders shut down for a little while. And then there's a lot of stipulations that go into shipping to, I guess our only options were Florida for a while. And then when Charlestown and Kentucky opened back up. But those, again, those are more expenses. And at a time when we were spending money and not getting much in, it's really hard to ask yourself and your clients to foot the bill for traveling, you know, at this time.
When you got the news that racing was finally going to resume at Laurel Park, what was your reaction?
We were elated. I mean, it went back and forth for a while, and you know, it was a pretty this area was almost close to a hot zone, so it did take a lot of time and effort to get everything in line before we were able to, and we just stayed. You know, it was a little frustrating, but of course we just had to stay patient. I mean, this was nobody's choice to do this. You know, it's still a pandemic and people's lives are still at risk, and it's still scary. I know that, you know, there's two sides to every view, but, you know, it is what it is. I mean, it's not like we were the only country that had to do it or the only area that did. So it just took time, and luckily things have subsided a little bit, and hopefully just, you know, this thing is getting out of here, and we know how to fight it, and we can move on and keep moving forward.
What new measures have you had to put in place with your business, Lacey, to keep everybody safe? You said you didn't have to lay anybody off. So what things are you doing to keep all of your help safe through this pandemic?
So thank goodness we have we're actually in a nice, large, extremely ventilated barn here at Laurel. And all of our grooms, they all have their own sections. They have, you know, five horses that are all in a row, so they kind of stay to their little corner. They have their bucket of disinfectant. Everybody wears masks. You know, in the early stages, everybody was using gloves, and we went through a lot of those. But, you know, I think that the biggest thing we've done now was we've put a lot of hand-washing stations in, and people just wear their mask, and we don't congregate and hang out, you know, as much as we usually do. So, I mean, we're hands-on, but, you know, my groom and a groom and a hot walker go wash the horse. A groom gives the rider a leg up and walks him around. So at the end of the day and in between, we disinfect the bridles and things like that. So, you know, we just have to be cautious of things. There's not much social distancing when you're working with animals, and it takes a few people to work with one. So, but we've been lucky that our backside has been able to keep everything at bay and keep everybody healthy back here.
Yeah, your family is ingrained in Maryland racing. Your father, Eddie, your mother, Linda, your sister, Gabby, of course, who is now a television personality. You see her all over the place. And of course, yourself, Lacey. So how important is it for you to make sure that things are back up and running and that we have a strong racing industry, a strong racing program in the state of Maryland?
Well, Maryland has been our home, so of course it's important to us to make sure that racing sustains here. You know, we enjoy being here year-round. When I was younger, I traveled back and forth through different states, and, you know, there's a lot of people that aren't lucky enough to stay in one spot all year, and I think it's helped us. It's helped us have a home, have a farm, have a wonderful business, and be able to, you know, this has been a tough year without normal circumstances, and it's a tough year to sustain in this industry. And, you know, we were very thankful to have our parents come before us, but of course it's never with any struggles. You know, my mom and I were talking the other day. I mean, it wasn't that long ago that we were down to 8 horses and wondering if we should stay here and continue. You know, the industry brought itself back up here, and so did our business. And it's been great to be able to stay here and watch our racing thrive and make a home here.
What do you think of the Preakness being the final leg of the Triple Crown now?
It's going to be awkward. It's going to be very awkward. You know, I mean, I think the people that obviously aren't on the Derby trail now, I think some of us are like, well, maybe there's a chance that some of these 3-year-olds can get back around there when the fall comes. But the Pimlico meet is always a fun time of year for us, so it's going to be very different. Not much information has come out about it as far as if we're going to even have a Pimlico meet or if it's just going to be the Preakness. It will definitely be awkward if there's not some sort of crowd there. I mean, Preakness is usually the people's party, and it's a great weekend altogether. So it'll be very different. Hopefully, it's just a year, and we'll have to deal with it. But I know we will enjoy seeing it come back around, and maybe that's where that might be the light at the end of the tunnel, that some normalcy and things are getting better.
Do you have a horse or two in the barn that you might be able to get ready over the summer months for that date on October 3rd?
We have one that'll probably compete. He's had pretty good dirt form. I think he's maybe a little bit more of a turf horse. He is a Bodemeister, but he hasn't done anything wrong to now. And I do have a 3-year-old that always worked really well. We thought was very promising and only started once. So, I mean, you know, I think for right now they're kind of more or less morning glories. So we'll see how they produce over the summer. But you know, we did have one nice horse that we sold privately. He won a stake at Gulfstream Park a couple weeks ago, Double Crown. So I know that they were always looking at those classic races for him. So it would be exciting to see at least a horse that came through the barn, maybe have a little more time to point to that. They've been very patient with him, so it'd be fun to see him come back for something like that.
What are the names of the other two that you think maybe there's a chance we could get him there?
One is Barrister, and one would be a horse named Runaway Star. And we've worked on actually watching him go out and train right now. He's been a very promising horse. It's been a little difficult to get along with in the morning, so maybe if we can get him really right. We did have high hopes for him early on.
Yeah, she's Lacey Gaudette, and she is a runaway star in her own right on the training side of things in the state of Maryland. Lacey, listen, I appreciate the visit. I know you're working and you're busy this morning, so I'll let you go, but really appreciate you spending a little time with me this morning. Good luck at Laurel, and great to see things back up and running again.
Yes, thank you. No problem. Thanks for having me on, Mike. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, and Lacey Gaudette, as I mentioned, her and every horseman in Maryland who has been dealing with these adverse circumstances, our industry star of the week on this Saturday morning. And, you know, when Stuart Morris came to me with the concept of that segment, it was designed to recognize every week people that are working hard behind the scenes that don't often get the recognition. Well, Lacey and her team and all the horsemen in Maryland certainly very deserving of that honor here this morning. Stuart Morris, don't forget, he offers a boutique full-service bloodstock operation. He wants to thank his owners, his clients, and his team. His success? Absolutely because of you. And with multiple stakes horses over the past several years, including Henley's Joy, Our Brain Trust, and Malagasy, Stuart Morris is your source for success at the highest levels. You can visit the Stuart Morris consignment at all of the major sales coming up this summer and fall. And by the way, Lacey and all of our guests who appear on the program receives a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race. It is the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Wear what you love and embrace your passion at EmbraceTheRace.com. All right, when I come back, you're going to hear from Hall of Fame trainer Dwayne Lucas looking back on the great Winning Colors and what it was like being at Churchill that day that she beat the boys. That's all coming up next on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for racing's biggest events.
Tenda Equine and Pet Care Products have been keeping world-class equine athletes happy and healthy for generations. Keep your equine athlete looking and performing well with Tenda Next Generation Wound and Skin Care Treatment, along with nutritional supplements, leg and muscle care products, salves, hoof care, poultice, topical aids, and grooming products. Visit TendaHorse.com today.
Power.
Taprit is still there. Masterplan is gaining. Masterplan at Taprit. Taprit still in front. Masterplan too late. Taprit will do it.
Passion.
It's Taprit. He makes another step forward on his way to Churchill. Well done, young man. We'll report home four lengths to the good.
Performance.
It is Taprit and Jose Ortiz in the Belmont Stakes.
Gainsway Stallion Taprit, a $1.2 million yearling turned classic winner and millionaire. Following a precocious stakes-winning two-year-old campaign, Taprit set a new stakes record in the Grade 2 Tampa Bay Derby before capturing the Grade 1 Belmont Stakes in his three-year-old season. Among the best-bred sons of Taprit ever to enter stud, out of Grade 1 Spinaway Stakes winner and multiple Grade Estates producer, Appealing Zofie. His exceptional first foals are arriving now. Taprit, standing for 12,500 at Gainesway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
Hi, Tony.
Hey, Matthew.
There's a reason why Tony's Steaks and Seafood is my favorite restaurant. It's because I want to feel part of the family. Isn't that right, Tony?
That's right. There's a saying on the wall that I truly believe in. There's always room for one more at our table. We just want you to be part of our family.
And believe me, you will be. It's Tony's Steaks and Seafood right across from Triangle Park. Visit them at TonysSteaksAndSeafood.com.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
Maxfield continues to close. New York Traffic and Maxfield. Pneumatic is down inside. Maxfield is thinking Derby.
Maxfield made a triumphant return to the races last weekend in the Grade 3 Matt win at Churchill Downs. Street Sense's Grade 1 winner stayed unbeaten with that exciting comeback win, earning a 95 buyer and 50 points on the road to the Kentucky Derby. That makes Maxfield your Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. Darley Stallion Street Sense, still the last Kentucky Derby winner to take Saratoga's historic Travers. No stallion under $175,000 can top his 18 dirt stakes horses in 2019, which include four-time Grade 1 winner and Breeders' Cup Classic runner-up McKenzie, and Grade 1 Breeders' Futurity hero Maxfield. Learn more about Street Sense and all the Darley Stallions by visiting DarleyAmerica.com.
Hello, I'm Junior Alvarado, and I listen to HRRN.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by FarmPaint.com.
And Nadal has put his head in front. Wells Bayou is going to have to battle back, but Nadal has taken over a clear lead. He's now two lengths in front at the top of the stretch. King Guillermo moves up outside of Wells Bayou. 3.5 to Farmington Road, and Finnick, the fierce and code runner. Nadal still has to get a final furlong. He is a length and a half in front of King Guillermo. Finnick the Fierce runs a big one in third. Nadal is two lengths in front. King Guillermo and Finnick the Fierce. It is Nadal undefeated and the Arkansas Derby winner. Nadal won by 2.5. King Guillermo second. Finnick the Fierce third. And Farmington Road finished fourth.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum, presented by FarmPaint.com here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch. That was Vic Stauffer with the call of the Arkansas Derby. Nadal winning one of the divisions of the Arkansas Derby this year. Of course, he now retired following surgery for a condylar fracture that he suffered in a workout this past week. Going to be joined by his owner, George Bolton, coming up 9 o'clock Eastern time. So stay tuned for that interview. Don't forget that if you're looking for live streaming and replays from nearly any racetrack out there, all you have to do is check out RTN.TV, the Racetrack Television Network. RTN has the most HD content of any streaming service and is available on many devices, including TVs, PCs, tablets, smartphones, Roku, and Amazon Fire TV. And how about this? As a special treat for all of our listeners, if you use the promo code HRRN, all capital letters, HRRN, you'll get your first 7 days of live streaming and replays absolutely free. Yeah, it's a cool program. We have RTN in our studios. Use it all the time for all of our race coverage that we bring you throughout the year. Head over there now, rtn.tv, and sign up and get your first 7 days of live streaming and replays absolutely free by using promo code HRRN. All right, well, the poll question that I threw out, and by the way, Dwayne Lucas, you're going to hear about a two-minute clip of him talking about winning colors and being at the Derby that day and some of the things that he went through remembering winning colors, remembering that Derby run. But throughout the poll question this morning, and the question of the day is this: what is the greatest race you have ever witnessed in person? And you can weigh in at HRN on Twitter, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook, and responses coming in from all over. So cool. Thank you very much to everybody who is taking time to reply. The 2004 Breeders' Cup, the Breeders' Cup Classic with Ghost Sapper getting a vote. The Travers in 2015, who can forget that one, when American Pharoah was upset by Keen Ice. The 2001 Classic or the 2018 Turf, Rachel's Oaks. Yeah, that was a tour de force. The 82 Travers Stakes, Seattle Slough losing to Exceller. Another one, the 2003 Breeders' Cup Turf. Hands down, Blames Breeders' Cup win at Churchill. J.O. Tobin defeating Seattle Slough at Hollywood Park. Wow, Seattle Slough, just remembering the times that he didn't win. California Chrome, the 2014 Kentucky Derby. The Big A responds and says his performance has to be the 2016 Travers won by Arrowgate. Yeah, that was special. And the race, the 1992 Gotham, Lure and Devil is Due hooking up in that one. Harvard DeGrace, Blind Luck, and the Delaware Handicap getting a vote. Rachel's Woodward, again, so many. And in the interest of time, don't have time to read through them all. But please keep them coming at HRN on Twitter, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook. The greatest race you have ever witnessed in person. Well, for Dwayne Lucas, he's witnessed many, including winning colors. And he joined me and Jude Feld on our Trainer Talk show in 2016. It was one of my favorite interviews we've ever done. We sat down with Wayne at his barn in Saratoga, and I asked him what comes to mind when he thinks back on that very special day.
Well, the first thing, you know, that happened is we came over from the quarter horses, and we started getting some notoriety. We started winning a few races and so forth, and John Nayrud was kind enough to send us the Horse Codex. So we go to the Preakness. First time I've ever won the Classic, you know, and this cowboy comes over there with, you know, Codex and the Preakness, and nobody took us too serious, although that horse had a pretty good prep set, you know, out there on the West Coast. And we win the Preakness. And first time ever. And I told Jeff, I said, hell, this is no big deal. I said, we're going to win a lot of these. I didn't realize it was going to take us eight more years, but the So we win the Preakness. Then we run in the next year, we run in the Kentucky Derby, and we run third with just an average horse. And I thought, well, you know, this is overrated. This thing's not that tough. We're going to win some of these. And, of course, then we wait all those years until Winning Colors comes along, and we get the great one. And we were very confident on that one, really confident. When she beat the boys at Santa Anita so easily in the Santa Anita Derby, I thought we were in great shape. It was interesting because the day of the race, I'm looking in the paddock, and we're getting ready to leg the riders up, and, of course, the horses are circling, and I thought, hell, we got the biggest, strongest one in here. It doesn't matter what gender, that she's a filly. She's the best, biggest, strongest one in here. And I was standing there with Billy Reed, who was that time lead writer for Sports Illustrated, and he said, can I watch it with you? And I said, yeah. So we go down the tunnel, and it's just jammed on that little viewing stand. I didn't realize you get a box and go up there and la-di-da and everything. I just thought, hell, we'll go watch the race. And so Billy said, where are you going to watch it from? I said, duck in here. We ducked into a broom closet in the hallway and the tunnel there at Churchill Downs. It's about 8x10, smelled like Pledge. And there was a little bitty TV in the corner. And the janitor or guy, the custodian, was sitting in there. And he, of course, was watching. And Billy says to me, this is where we're going to watch it? And I said, yeah, this will be great. And he said, What if she's not on the screen? I said, Billy, she's gray and she's going to be on the lead every step of the way. I said, she's going to be the only one on the screen.
Hall of Famer Dwayne Lucas having some fun with us on that Trainer Talk program. By the way, that whole show, 1 hour with Dwayne Lucas, is archived on our website. If you just go there and search Dwayne Lucas or Lucas, it'll pull up for you and you can listen to the whole hour. But fun stuff looking back on the great Winning Colors who beat the boys in that Kentucky Derby and the Winning Colors Stakes, part of a stellar program at Churchill this afternoon. I'm going to talk with the man who will saddle the favorite in this year's Winning Colors, Brad Cox, coming up later in the show at 9:40. Eastern time. But when I return, George Bolton kicks off hour number two. We'll look back on the career, albeit brief, but an undefeated career of Nadal. And in between all of that, Acacia Courtney, 9:20 Eastern. She'll join me from Gulfstream to handicap the Rainbow Six. Huge, huge jackpot at stake later today in that Rainbow Six. All of that coming up in hour number two, right after I pause. 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
He's got a five-length lead on his competition in his California Chrome in front. And from the back of the pack on the outside, Commanding Curve is taken second. But California Chrome shines bright in the Kentucky Derby.
And the final furlong of the Kentucky Derby. And it's going to be Big Brown bounding home to a convincing win in the Run for the Roses. It is Big Brown by five on the wire.
Welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by FarmPaint.com.
And Animal Kingdom is pouncing late on the John Velasquez. It's now Animal Kingdom on the outside, who goes the lead for John Velasquez, and he's going clear by two lengths and running to the line. Animal Kingdom wins the Derby.
It's American Pharaoh in front, firing line. Dorkman is third, Frosted is fourth. Coming to the finish, American Pharaoh and Victor Espinosa have won the Kentucky Derby!
Now, here's Mike Pena.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Equine Forum. Busy morning rolling on here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Pena, Baron of the Backstretch. Happy to have you back with me. If you missed any portion of the first half of the program or any of our shows, they're all available for you via podcast on our website at horseracingradio.net. You can also listen on Apple Podcasts. Just search Horse Racing Radio Network there and pull up all of our shows. First half of the program, Mike Smith, that interview from Red Brand Radio this past week. Really good stuff in there from Mike Smith. If you missed it, go back and listen. Also, my interview with Lacey Gaudette, talking about racing returning to Laurel Park and to the state of Maryland later today. That's a very special thing and positive news for our industry there. And, of course, that clip from Dwayne Lucas just moments ago, looking back on winning colors in that day she beat the boys in the Kentucky Derby. All of that available for you via podcast at horseracingradio.net. Poll question today, or question of the day, not so much a poll question, but question of the day. What is the greatest race you have ever witnessed in person? And I told you, the replies coming in fast and furious. You can go to @HRN on Twitter, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook to let us know your thoughts. And you can also email the show, mike@horseracingradio.net, if you prefer to do it that way, if you're not on social media. But what is the greatest race you have ever witnessed in person? And for our special guest that kicks off the second half of the program, George Bolton, there have been many, many races that he has witnessed that have been memorable for him, I'm sure. And he is with me now here on HRRN. George, good morning.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for taking a few minutes here today. How about that question, George? If you were to think about the greatest race you have ever witnessed in person, what do you think it might be?
Well, you know, I mean, they're also, I mean, you have different moments, but I mean, I would say the factor breaking his maiden in 106.98 at Santa Anita was a, you know, a world event. I would say the Curlin winning the Preakness when he got passed and then repassed Street Sense right at the wire in 2007 was, you know, being from a farm in Maryland was, you know, obviously a dream come true. So I've been very spoiled. And then as a, you know, a child, you know, I would say that, you know, I went once to watch the races at Pimlico as a little kid and watched the big horses run in the Preakness when I was like 8. And, you know, that was the most exciting thing I'd ever seen in my life. So, you know, I have different memories from great situations. And I'd lastly just mention, you know, winning at Royal Ascot, you know, with Lady Aurelia was one of the greatest moments ever. So horse racing's brought me to great places, and I'm thankful.
George, and you mentioned, you know, being from a farm in Maryland. You grew up on a 45-acre farm and started off on the, you know, riding in fox hunts and those types of things. Your father, Perry, won the Maryland Hunt Cup in 1998. So you were kind of born into horse racing in some respects. How cool is it now to have your name associated with so many of those memorable moments that you just talked about?
Well, I think that as a fan to think about me, you know, I'm walking into the paddock and see a horse as a guy who rode horses, who mucked stalls, who, you know, got a horse bathed. And, you know, I actually, when I talk to people like Bob Baffert about my horses, you know, they know that, you know, I know that what they're talking about, if a horse is off or horse has heat somewhere in an ankle or, you know, I mean, I'm a horsey type owner versus a racing form type owner. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, you know, I really loved my horses. And I'd say the one thing I always recommend is if you ever get a nice horse, go spend time with it. Go to the backside, go watch every race, enjoy the wins, try to get through the losses, but don't just do it on TV. And this sport is fabulous on TV, but I would say the greatest moments I've had, of course, was because I was at the racetrack going through the nerves of being an owner, which are very different when you're there in person.
Did you, as you were growing up around horses, George, did you always anticipate that maybe someday you might actually be involved with owning thoroughbreds?
Well, you know, it's a kind of a confluence of lucky event. Bill Farish's father, Will Farish, who was building Lane's End at the time, we went to the University of Virginia together. So he was buying 7 farms and putting them into one beautiful farm, Lane's End Farm. And Bill was the one who called me to get into the horse business. So, one, he was at the high end. Two, he was asking me to buy a small piece of a filly that was in Europe that had already run and won. And we brought her to the United States named Simbala. So we got off to a great start, won a Grade 3 race at Keeneland called the Bewitch. And, you know, when you start off the right way in anything, it makes a big difference. And in horse racing, you know, you need to have some luck and you need to keep your numbers down. And so the good horses don't get diluted by too many that can't run. And you know, I've been very lucky to get in with someone at the highest end that could really create value if you did it right.
Yeah, and you know, this is a game that, it's often said, features the highest highs and the lowest lows. You've experienced both of those, and this past week the news coming out about undefeated Nadal, who was the points leader on the road to the Kentucky Derby, that he would now be retired following a condylar fracture and surgery that he had for that injury in a workout this past week. When you get that phone call, George, as an owner, that kind of news, what comes to mind? I mean, what goes through your mind when you get that phone call?
Well, I mean, it's not your biggest nightmare, because he did not suffer a compound fracture and he's stable. He's happy in his stall. I called this morning to get a report for you. He actually, when the two screws were put in, basically hairline in his left front ankle, he immediately was stable and comfortable, versus uncomfortable with the hairline being open. So Baffert said, which I thought this was very interesting, once the screws go in, he's walking sound. He's standing sound. So he's going to have 30 days of stall rest, and then he will become a stallion in Kentucky, and we're talking to farms right now. But, you know, the phone call came, and, you know, when it's early in the morning, it's either a great work or something happened. And he called me and he said this horse got hurt. And, you know, you just sink very low in your chair. You try to get your breath. And, you know, then the next question, of course, is he going to make it? Is he okay? And he said, yeah, before this thing, quote unquote, displaces, we got to get him into surgery and get this thing supported by a pin or two. And it took two big screws that I actually sent to the blood horse so they could see it. You know what I mean? To get the facts out, right? Took his left front ankle. It was a devastating phone call, but when you have to kind of then sit back and think, well, you went to Bob Baffert, you started him January 19th, and he won four races in a row, capping it off with a Grade One Derby day. And so as an investor in the horse, you know, he created great stallion value already. Two, he's stable and okay. And obviously, you know, this is the saddest part of the business, that, you know, when they take a 1,325-pound animal. Now, this horse is about 200 pounds bigger than any other horse in the paddock, okay? Their horses are 950 up to 1,050, 1,100, but 1,325, he is DeMarcus Ware, Jeremy Shockey. That's the athlete he is as a human being. And so, you know, that left front ankle takes pressure going around a left-hand dirt turn, and that's what gave way here. And so, you know, you go from crushed to making sure the horse is okay, you know, and then you just have to look back on the great times he gave us and thank the Lord I actually got up off my couch and went to watch him run four times. And I think that's the nicest part of my story with him, is I got to know him well. I was with him 10 times on the backside, and, you know, he goes off to be a stallion, and I knew him much more than just a bet at the track. You know what I mean?
Yeah, really special horse, and it is devastating for everybody that's involved, and it's devastating for the sport, too. I mean, you had a horse that, and, you know, I said at the top of the show, George, what if the Derby were run on May 3rd? Would we be talking about
Nadal
being a Derby winner?
You would have won the Derby. You just won the other one. And we always laugh that I won the Arkansas Derby, not the Kentucky Derby, the day of the Kentucky Derby. And I think that the saddest part, and I didn't want to be bringing the show down here with this, but this was going to be a great race between him and Tiz the Law in the Belmont, right? And you know me, I don't shy from these things, and neither does my trainer, Bob Baffert. So you know we're going. And it was just great for the sport and great for television, which obviously had a rerun of the Super Bowl from last year, competing with the Arkansas Derby live. I had 68 texts after the horse won, 40 from non-horse people, right?
Wow.
Meaning that people were watching horse racing because it was live and it was exciting, right? So, you know, we lost a great actor in our show here, right? And it's sad for horse racing. And again, you know, I am very sad about those races not taking place, because I was excited to see what would happen, and I think a lot of people were too.
Talking with owner George Bolton here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. George, I remember in 2011 when the Factor, who you referenced earlier, was being pointed for the Kentucky Derby after displacing. I remember he displaced his pallet in the Arkansas Derby, and Bob said that he felt like he just wasn't ready for a race like the Kentucky Derby. In your quote, I'll never forget, you said that you were relieved to hear that news. Obviously not relieved with the news of Nadal, a different situation, but being a horseman first, I thought that was a very interesting take on your part.
Well, I mean, obviously it was a very interesting day because an hour after we scratched the horse, Churchill Downs took my seats away. So I was like already on the ground there. You're throwing water on me, right? Get up. The refs counted to 10. You're at 5, George. Got to get up. And all of a sudden, I have Churchill Downs, Mr. Bolton. We've taken your seats away from the Kentucky Derby. Hope to see you in the next year. So anyway, that was a big uppercut, two in a row that day. And why did I answer the question the way I did? Well, the point was that horse wasn't acting right, and he turns out, I think he cracked his ankle waiting 10 minutes in the start at the Rebel, and he wouldn't go to the racetrack for the whole month of kind of mid-March to April. And Dana, you know, the rider, couldn't get him to go to the racetrack. And Bob thought he was being soft. Well, the point is, it took us 4 nuclear scan tests. But after the Arkansas Derby, not only did he flip his pallet, but he also had a crack in his ankle that just needed time. So, you know, what I always say to people about the Kentucky Derby is, you know, you go into that thing 80%, you could have a horse that has traumatic physical or mental problems out of it. So you don't want to go unless you're really, really live. And I think that's kind of what I meant that day, is that, look, you know, you show up in these big ones, the Preakness, the Derby, the Breeders' Cup, you know, things where there's 7 horses that are almost undefeated, you know, you have to be really on your A game. And, you know, that horse obviously went south after the Rebel and came back to be a great sprinter later in the year. And I think what the fans need to know is that those are the ups and downs of racing, but they kind of stay with you. I mean, the Dow goes to be a stallion, you know, I got no action, right? So it's a, you know, it's a sad day the day it happens when it, you know, as you ask a question, and then it kind of wears on you a little bit when you're out of the game, you know? So, you know, every day that you have a great win is precious in this game. And every time I win a grade one, people always look at me like, you seem so happy. And I'm like, I'm happy because we have the resume. We got it done before anything happened that went adverse here. And when you get the call on Nadal, you realize how fragile the industry is. I mean, these are big animals with small legs in comparison to the size of their bodies, and obviously a lot of great horses and their careers with injury, most modest. But, I mean, you know, you read very rarely that a horse, you know, heads to Kentucky without any issues in 3 years racing. So, you know, again, it's just, you got to be fragile with these animals, and you got to press when they're really right. And when they're not right, you got to back off.
Does Bob still have the same ringtone for you when you call him?
The Austin Powers.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Bob. Bob was, you know, I was with Bob in Dubai when he had a heart attack. So I mean, he and I have been through, you know, more than a losing a horse race. You know what I mean? And so even, you know, and again, the way he is, he's so good. He just calls and gets it done, you know, bam, horse is hurt. Here's what we're doing. And he deals with it very straightforwardly, and he's straight up, you know. And again, you know, Bob Baffert, I went and checked the stats on this. We have an 80% win rate together.
Wow.
Since 2003. So there you go, right? You can name the horses, Cotton Bay, Roman Ruler, The Factor, Nadal. I mean, he's really in a league of his own.
Yeah, keep that partnership going. George Bolton with me here on HRRN. George, before I let you go, somebody comes to you as a prospective new owner looking to get into this game. What do you tell them?
Well, the first thing I'd say is that, you know, buy a third of 3 horses over 3 years, right, at the dollar amount you can afford versus one. And so if you spread your bets and own a third of 3 horses over 3 years, the chances of a very good horse happen. Know who you're getting into business with, and know that if you got into one of those horse racing partnerships which do good accounting for you and can help consolidate your vet training and transportation bills and get your understanding that whole world, they do mark up their horses. So you need to check to see, you know, how much they mark those up. So those are my 2 things to be aware of. you're better off owning a piece with friends, and you definitely need to check the markups on any of those partnerships that kind of create a nice product for you, just so you know you got a chance. And then the last thing, and I think this is the most important, you probably want to be 80% Phillies, because if something happens to them, they get broodmare value, and 20% Colts, you know, because the Colts get hurt, you're handing a Colt to the school riding program, right? So anyway, that's the, you know, that's a way to keep your capital in better shape. And my other thing is that 5G is going to be huge for horse racing. It's going to be the Laurel and Pimlico being redone. Obviously, horse racing online betting is going to continue to explode. And so it's worldwide racing in invitationals are exploding at the high end, if you like that. So whether it's Royal Ascot or, you know, the Melbourne Cup, or, you know, there are other festivals around the world that are very, very inviting and fabulous too. So it's actually a great time to enter the sport as an owner.
Well, George Bolton, the wonderful ambassador for the sport of thoroughbred racing, always so positive. And George, can't thank you enough for spending a little time here. And again, my thoughts are with you on Nadal. That is really some hard cheese there, but I know that you're going to come out the other side, and looking forward to the future of the George Bolton runners coming up over the next several years.
Great. Well, thanks for having me on, and love your show. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, George. Appreciate it. George Bolton here on HRRN, and great ambassador for the sport, and wonderful advice too. Really heartfelt advice if you're looking to get involved in the sport. And George Bolton has, you know, as you said, he entered at a very high level, and he's been very lucky and very fortunate to make some right moves and get involved with the right horses and the right people. But, you know, then something like this happens with Nadal, and it's difficult. It's difficult on everybody. But, all right, going to get to a break. When I come back, Acacia Courtney will join me from Gulfstream Park to handicap today's Rainbow Six, and it's a big one. This is the Equine Forum on HRRN, presented by FarmPaint.com.
Tenda Equine and Pet Care Products have been keeping world-class equine athletes happy and healthy for generations. Keep your equine athlete looking and performing well with Tenda Next Generation Wound and Skin Care Treatment. Along with nutritional supplements, leg and muscle care products, salves, hoof care, poultice, topical aids, and grooming products. Visit TendaHorse.com today.
Racing is back at Churchill Downs every Thursday through Sunday with a first post each day of 1 p.m. Eastern. Although spectator-free, Churchill Downs offers great wagering opportunities with big fields and horses coming from all over the country. The meet concludes Saturday, June 27th with a huge card highlighted by five graded stakes, including the Grade 2 Stephen Foster, a win in your end for the Breeders' Cup Classic, and the Grade 2 Fleur de Lis, with the winner punching her ticket to the Breeders' Cup Distaff. Visit ChurchillDowns.com for more information.
Hello, I'm Michael Blowen, founder of Old Friends Thoroughbred Retirement Farm. One of our highest priorities for these living legends is safety. That's why the fence we trust most at Old Friends is the V-Mesh Keepsake from Red Brand. Keepsake features a V-Mesh weave to prevent hooves from getting caught, and the mesh design flexes on impact. Learn more about the quality, safety, and long-lasting value of Keepsake V-Mesh Horse Fence by visiting redbrand.com.
Pin Oak Studs Alternation is a top 10 third crop sire by earnings, black type winners, and graded stakes winners. With nearly $7 million in earnings to date, Alternation was represented by six black type horses in 2019. From a second crop, three-year-old daughter Serengeti Empress won the 2019 Grade 1 Kentucky Oaks and was runner-up in both the Grade 1 Test and Acorn Stakes. Serengeti Empress finished the year with a strong third to older mares in the Breeders' Cup Distaff and is a finalist for Eclipse Champion three-year-old filly. By Distorted Humor, millionaire graded stakes winner Alternation stands at Pin Oak Stud.
Visionary design, visceral performance, and imaginary technology. That's Lexus. When every detail, every moment, and every emotion is crafted by Lexus, it leads to amazing. Experience artistry that inspires, design that compels, and engineering that excites. This is Mike Pena, and I can tell you personally, as a Lexus owner, the enjoyment you'll experience from driving any of the Lexus model lines is unparalleled. Visit the Lexus store of Lexington today and see what I've been talking about for nearly 15 years. The people truly make the difference.
Lexus has also been a longtime supporter of the horse industry, with a Keeneland shop located at the Lexus store of Lexington and through their sponsorship of Keeneland's Lexus Raven Run Stakes each fall. And remember, when you go to the Lexus store, ask for the Godfather, Tony Attiano. Talk horses and experience amazing in your brand new Lexus.
I'm Manny Franco, and I listen to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by FarmPaint.com.
They're into the stretch. Aye, aye, sir. Still the leader coming down to the final furlong after a 43.91 half. Maintaining a two-length lead, Mystic Lancelot's cutting into it with every stride, and now goes on by with a 16th to go. Mystic Lancelot and John Velasquez pulling away late. Art Collector takes second, Mystic Lancelot by four. And then it was Art Collector by Landon C. was third, a photo for fourth. The final time was Speedy, 101.06.
Larry Colmus with the call of that race at Saratoga. Mystic Lancelot breaking his maiden August 15th of last year. Now, Mystic Lancelot is the 5-2 morning line favorite in the featured allowance race at Gulfstream this afternoon. That is part of the Rainbow Six sequence, and a huge carryover and a huge guarantee into that Rainbow Six pool later on this afternoon. Matter of fact, $1.65 million is the guarantee, and it is races 6 through 11. Acacia Courtney, the little A, spends a lot of time obviously handicapping the races at Gulfstream because she is their on-air racing analyst there, and she is with me now to walk through that Rainbow Six sequence. And Acacia, let me tell you, when you got a 5-2 morning line favorite on a horse like Mystic Lancelot that has only had one win in his career, you know you're looking at a very difficult race and a very difficult six-race sequence.
It definitely is, and hey, Mike, thanks for having me on this morning, but that's definitely a highlight on the card, though it's not an easy one, and Mystic Lancelot's been a little bit of a tricky horse because he's been facing good company, but like you said, it's been a while since he's been to the winner's circle. But Todd has two in there, too. Let's not forget about Cowtown to the Inside, who was game last time to break his maiden. So, you know, maybe you might end up with a longer price of the uncoupled entry sort of thing, or maybe even somebody else in a pretty good race.
I take it you're on your way to the racetrack now?
I am, yes.
Well, we'll look forward to seeing you on TV later this afternoon. Let's walk through this Rainbow Six sequence and get your thoughts on who you think might be a good play in each of these races. As if, you know, that's not challenging enough with the feature race, which will be race 10. The six-race sequence begins in race 6, and Acacia, it begins with a claiming race, 62-50, non-winners of two lifetime. What a way to kick it off.
Oh, yes. These are races that are pretty popular, and sometimes you'll see some horses that have faced each other several times. My thought going into this first race of the sequence, like you said, it is a lower-level claiming race. You've got some horses that are in fine form, but maybe just a little bit hard to trust at potentially a short price, because what I find what happens in these kinds of races is that one or two horses pretty much take all the play, but these are the kinds of races where something crazy can happen sometimes. So I actually have a long shot play in the first leg of the Rainbow Six. I'll use the favorite, the one Union Lane, and the four Fiamma Mama protectively in the first leg of the sequence, but I like the three I'm That Bird. I'm just thinking that she did not like the wet track last time. Visually, I don't think that she handled the sealed sloppy track, and I think we're going to see a better performance from her today. I think Sammy Camacho will be a nice fit, and blinkers on, so hopefully she'll be a little bit more forward today.
All right, well, that's the first leg, race number 6. Race 7, we go to a 6-furlong sprint, claimers 12-5, non-winners of two lifetime. How'd you see that one?
This one is tough because it's kind of a similar thing to the first leg. It's you're going to have some horses at a shorter price, particularly the number one, Gioelli, to the Inside. Any horse that Irad Ortiz is on is going to take money, and that one does have speed, which is certainly a benefit. But I thought that the number 7, Say Adios, for Ron Spath, second off the bench, is going to improve. Ran a pretty good race last time, had some natural speed, and I just thought second off the layoff could maybe be forward if needed, or could sit a trip behind some of the other speeds, just thinking that might be the key one second off the bench.
You know, Acacia, considering that you have to be the only winning ticket to cash on this bet, are you looking for some long shots and some surprises that you can throw in, or do you just kind of pick the horses you think are going to win and hope for the best?
It's a little bit of a combination of both. If the nature of the Rainbow Six bet is that, as you mentioned, it's a jackpot bet, so you want to be able to have the one unique ticket at the end of the day. Six out of six, especially on days like this, will still pay really well because you're going to have a massive pool to take part of. But the key is, like, it's trying to be a little bit more open-minded, looking for some of those price horses, especially in the lower-level claiming races. Those are the ones I would not recommend keying on just a couple of horses. The lower-level claiming races where you have horses that are a little bit more inconsistent, those are the ones I would recommend spreading a bit more, because those are also the races where I think, just in watching several Rainbow Six sequences go down, that's where you're going to find some of those prices that will really be the key to leaving you as one of the only tickets at the end.
Visiting with Acacia Courtney, Gulfstream handicapper and on-air analyst, and really does a fantastic job. She's walking through today's Rainbow Six with that huge guarantee. All right, let's go to race number 8. It will be the third race in the six-race sequence. A mile and a 16th on the turf. Optional claimer, 50,000. This is a pretty good race.
This is a nice race. I think that there are several ways to go, potentially. I landed on 9 at the moment. I felt that this horse just had, I think, a little bit of an edge versus the company kept recently for him. He's got a pretty versatile running style. He's had some tough beats, for sure, but he's also one of the more accomplished horses in the field. So I thought this could be a good place for him. I think, though, it really, the race will depend on what happens with Venezuelan Hug, as Danny Gargan has a 1-2 punch in there, also has Blood Moon trying the turf for the first time. But Venezuelan Hug was so impressive last time to break his maiden. It's not the easiest place for him to step up and face winners for the first time, but if he has a repeat of that performance last time out, he definitely could be a big player in here. And then I wouldn't leave off the number 9, Bad Beat Brian, either. I know the company he's been facing, maybe not as potentially as tough as the others I just mentioned, as he has been running a couple of claiming races, but he's a little guy. He's as game as they come, and he's got a strong rider, Paco Lopez, up today, and of course he has speed, which at Gulfstream is always a good weapon to have.
All right, well, if your top pick, Dominate the Moment, can find his way to the winner's circle, that would be pretty good. 8-1 on the morning line on Dominate the Moment. That would be a good one to have in the Rainbow Six. The next race, the second half of the Rainbow Six, begins in race 9. 6.5 furlongs on the main track. It's a $35,000 claimer. Who do you like in that one, Acacia?
I landed on top pick for the number 4, Cajun Firecracker. First off, the claim for Mike Maker. It's not a turf horse. He's not switching to the turf. He's a dirt mid-level claiming horse. But what I like about him is that he's consistent. And talking about these claiming races, this is, of course, a higher level than some of the ones earlier in the sequence we mentioned. But for me, with these horses, the ones that show consistency always seem to perform. It may not always be a win, but they always seem to perform, and you kind of know what you're going to get out of them. So I felt like that was going to be the biggest one for me. You've also got Win With Pride, who looks like this one, her sale sign might be out a little bit, but thinking, yes, he's got good connections behind him, Poli Stable and Red Ortiz. So I felt that the race kind of revolved around what we get from those two.
Yeah, relatively formful in race number 9. Race 10, we touched on it earlier. You have your morning line favorite in Mystic Lancelot, who has one win in his career, but he's going to be your one of the favorites, if not the favorite. And then Todd Pletcher, as you said, represented in here too. So who do you like in race 10?
I actually went against both of the Pletcher horses. I took Our Country. I feel like him being gelded is perhaps it's not the best thing for him or for him potentially, maybe a future stallion with the connection, but I feel like for his racing, it's probably the best thing that they could have done. He's been a tricky horse in the afternoon. He's had a couple of issues. He would get a little bit warm and heat up before the race, and I did feel like that affected him a lot of times because he would be the type that would expend a lot of energy before the race even started, and he clearly has a lot of talent. So I like that he came back and he had a really good race last time out. That seems like a good building block for him, and as I mentioned, he has been gelded. And with a horse like this, he was so highly touted at one point in Saratoga after he broke his maiden, I feel like you might get a bit of a price on him, and now, given the presence of the other two Todds, Mystic Lancelot I respect, but I remember when he had tried that dirt race, I had spoken to Todd about him, and he said they felt like he had kind of tailed off on the turf, and they tried switching surfaces. That didn't work. They went back on the grass, and his last couple have been his best races, but as we've been talking about, it's just been a while since he's been able to break through for that second win.
Yeah, in our country, 5-1 on the morning line would be another nice price in the Rainbow Six, and obviously, well, highly regarded. Finished just 2.5 lengths behind Structor in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf last November, and that's in race number 10. All right, Acacia, so we're 5-5. We're still alive into the last leg. Who are we cheering for in race 11?
This one is tricky because I just didn't see any real genuine speed signed on, so I feel like that's going to be one of the keys to this race, is who goes to the front, because on paper there just really isn't any pace. I landed on the number 3 Power, hoping that Paco Lopez would be forwardly placed. This is a horse that's still lightly raced. He did show a little bit of early interest in his debut, though he's had some trouble getting out of the gate. So here's hoping we see him a little bit stronger today. And then, of course, you have to respect the class dropping Queen's Plate Nolan for Mike Maker.
There you go. She has her finger on the pulse of everything at Gulfstream Park. She is Acacia Courtney. Acacia, look, we'll look forward to watching you on TV later today. And thanks for walking through that sequence. Good luck with the Rainbow Six, and we'll wish everybody good luck who might be taking your advice and using some of those horses. But really appreciate you taking some time on your way to the track this morning.
For sure. Thanks, Mike. As always, great to talk to you.
You too. The Little A, Acacia Courtney, here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. And as I mentioned, you can these interviews, every single interview here on the program, brought to you by Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Wear your passion and embrace your passion for the sport of thoroughbred racing at EmbraceTheRace.com. All right, one more guest coming up. It is trainer Brad Cox, and plenty of things to talk about there, including his contenders in the 2 stakes races at Churchill today, and we'll look back on a filly by the name of Monomoy Girl. This is the Equine Forum on HRRN, presented by FarmPaint.com.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you, with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at FarmPaint.com. That's FarmPaint.com.
Adena Springs homebred champion Macho Uno is a proven source of classic speed and a great stallion to start off young mares. Macho Uno's runners average $88,000, higher than the likes of Malibu Moon and More Than Ready. He's the sire of 5 Grade 1 winners and 3 classic horses, including multiple Grade 1 winning Sprinter and Miler Private Zone and Breeders' Cup Classic champion Mucho Macho Man, who is now North America's number 1 third crop sire, having produced this year's sensational Pegasus World Cup hero Mucho Gusto, along with Del Mar Grade 2 winner and Grade 1 place Mucho Unusual, stakes winner Mucho Amor, multiple graded placed Bellora, and $575,000 juvenile and TDN Rising Star Fortin Hill. Mucho Macho Man's juveniles averaged $122,000 at the OBS March sale, higher than Liam's Map, Hard Spun, and Uncle Mo. Macho Uno and Mucho Macho Man, standing the 2020 season for $10,000 at Adena Springs. Visit AdenaStallions.com.
Woodford Feed, where tradition merges with technology. Family-owned since 1940 and providing exceptional customer service, Woodford Feed specializes in the highest quality feed, using only the finest ingredients to ensure optimal nutrition for your horses. In addition, Woodford Feed can help with all your farm needs, including field seed, fertilizer, and weed control. So whether your horse is sprinting around the racetrack or has a foal by her side, count on Woodford Feed to provide the quality nutrition necessary to perform at the highest level. Woodford Feed, Versailles, Kentucky.
When it comes to buying tractors, mowers, and farm equipment, look no further than locally owned Central Equipment on Red Mile Road in Lexington. A third-generation family business, Central Equipment has been servicing the equine industry for more than 46 years, working closely with the NTRA to ensure their equine clients get the best pricing on their new John Deere purchases. At Central Equipment, you'll find top brands like Exmark, Kubota, Still, John Deere, and Woods. Stop in today and experience the family-owned atmosphere or visit centralequipment.com.
Ruidoso Downs Racetrack and Casino continues live racing every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday through Labor Day. Don't miss your chance to watch and wager every weekend on thoroughbred and quarter horse racing from the mountains of New Mexico. You'll find a simulcast broadcast of Ruidoso Downs races along with free PPs at raceruidoso.com. Visit your favorite ADW provider to place your bet. Ruidoso Downs Racetrack and Casino, home to the world's richest quarter horse race, the All-American Futurity. Guaranteed excitement, you bet.
This is Florent Giroux, and you are listening to HRRN.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by FarmPaint.com.
Here's Monomoy Girl now. Monomoy Girl switches to the outside, and it's coming with her rally. A little bit wide off the turn, but nonetheless, she puts her nose in front. Monomoy Girl, the one to catch now with 3/16 to go. Red Dane rolls up on the outside, closing in. Talk Veuve to me, Ms. Bigley, center of the track. It's Lady Kate down inside. It's Fashion Faux Pas. But Monomoy Girl's got a four-length lead and 100 yards to go. And Monomoy Girl, another stylish performance beneath the Twin Spires, is on her way. Winning by three in the end, Red Dane was second, Miss Bigley was third, Estilo Femenino cut up for fourth.
Yeah, Monomoy Girl, the daughter of Gainsway stallion Tapazar, definitely on her way. She returned to the races May 16th at Churchill Downs. That was Travis Stone with the call. Welcome back to the Equine Forum, presented by FarmPaint.com. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, with you. One more guest coming up. That is trainer Brad Cox. He'll talk about Monomoy Girl. We'll also talk about his contenders coming up in this afternoon's stakes races at Churchill. He is loaded once again. And the native of Louisville with me now here on HRRN. Brad, good morning. Thanks for spending a little time on what has to be a very busy day.
Good morning, Mike. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, listen, we just heard the call of Monomoy Girl returning to the races, that great, great return in that allowance race on May 16th. Just to spend a few minutes reflecting on that race and share your thoughts on that performance.
I mean, it was, you know, it was a long road to get her back. I mean, it was our third attempt, and you know, it worked out this time, and, you know, just excited to get her back, get her back to the races and then get her back to the winner's circle. So it was a great day, and you know, just very proud of her, and you know, our whole team and the owners, and you know, what we've accomplished with her since the beginning, since her two-year-old year. But you know, to still have her going at the age of five is pretty remarkable. It just shows what kind of horse she is.
Yeah, and you have to be very proud, Brad. That was a tremendous training job on your part. You mentioned your third attempt to get her back to the races. Talk about a couple of the things that she had to overcome on that comeback trail.
Well, it's just, you know, some soundness issues behind, you know, nothing major, never had any surgeries or anything, just wasn't, you know, we're not real happy with the way she was traveling behind and come out of some works, and we just had to, you know, it was like one step forward, two steps back with her in 2019, so 2020 definitely has went a lot smoother and better for her. So, you know, these horses, when they're not doing well, they're not going to run well, so, you know, that's why we do this, you know, we're out here 7 days a week, and, you know, going over them and training them and, you know, trying to get them as good as we can. And she was obviously very good to us in 2018. And you know, we know when she's right. We know her like the back of our hand. And she you know, she's had a good year and responded well, and was very proud of what, like I said, what she was able to accomplish in her comeback race.
Yeah, as her trainer, Brad, when she's going into the starting gate, and it's been such a long road, and you finally get her in the starting gate on that comeback race, what was that moment like when she was going in? Were you nervous? Were you anxious? What was it like?
a little nervous. I mean, you know, you kind of, she's obviously going to, is the big favorite, kind of feel like you have a target on your back. But, you know, just kind of how the race was going to unfold, I wanted, you know, my only instruction to Florent was, you know, just be somewhat conservative early. I said, I want her running at the end. I don't want to use her up going up the backside or around the turn. And he did a great job. He obviously knows her extremely well, and it worked out well. And, yeah, as far as the nerves go, I mean, I was a little nervous. I don't get nervous before races very often, but I did get a little nervous before she went in the gate for sure.
Yeah, and you probably should. What's next for her? Where do we see her next?
We got some options. We'll look at the Ogden Phipps as a possibility at Belmont or the Ruffian the 1st of July. She actually breezed this morning at Churchill and went extremely well. I was very pleased with her work and her gallop out. And, actually standing here right now looking at her, and she's in the feed tub, looks fantastic. And, you know, that's definitely something we'll look at. It's the first race. It's our first option. But, you know, we're going to see how it comes up and if it makes sense for her. And, you know, we'll just kind of see how things unfold over the next week or so.
You know, I know, Brad, that, you know, obviously when you're in these big races, you have to worry about every single horse that's in the race. But with what Midnight Bisou did last year in the absence of Monomoy Girl, now to have the two of them back together again, you know, that was a great rivalry a couple of years ago. It could be a lot of fun here in 2020.
Yeah, for sure. It'd be great for racing. There's no doubt about it. That was a great rivalry in 2018, and hopefully they can, you know, match up or meet up again at some point. Hopefully maybe a couple times this year, and, you know, see how it goes.
Yeah, do trainers get pumped up about those kind of rivalries?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think, I mean, you know, you want to go into them with confidence, and I think if you got confidence going into them, you know, absolutely. It's exciting. It's like, you know, being in the Final Four of the Super Bowl. I mean, you know, you get it's a showdown, and, you know, it's see how it plays out. But it's something to look forward to this year for sure.
Talking with trainer Brad Cox here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. He has saddled more than 1,300 winners in his career and has really been on the roll the last several years. And he is looking to continue that role later today at Churchill Downs. Brad, when you look at the Grade 3 winning colors, named for the great Philly and Kentucky Derby winner, you send out the morning line favorite, number 2, Break Even. Joel Rosario will get the leg up today. Talk to me a little bit about this 4-year-old filly.
Well, she ran big last time in Oakland. Rosario rode her that day as well. She kind of had things all her own way up front. You know, we'll see what happens today. She has a tendency to break about a half step slow, but she recovers extremely quick and, you know, puts herself up in the race. She's got a lot of speed. She's very fast. She ran well in the Churchill here last year in the 8 Bells. And, you know, she'll run, she's a dual surface horse, and she'll run on anything. She's one of the fast dirt, muddy track, turf. She's very consistent filly, and she's in very, very good form. This will be her third race off the layoff. Kind of throw her first race out. She's 5.5 now at the Fairgrounds. There was a ton of speed in the race. She got caught up in a pace duel, and just wasn't her day and her setup at all. Going into the race, to be honest with you, I think they bet her pretty heavy that day, and I didn't really like the way the race was unfolding, to be honest. And I kind of thought, you know, wasn't going to put a whole lot into it. We took a step back, found a condition or a money allowance for her. She responded well, and I think with that effort today, she'll be there. She'll be there at the end. She's trained extremely well. She, like I said, she does like Churchill. I'm excited about her.
Yeah, she began her career 6-for-6, and you had to be thinking at that point, wow, we have something special here, and she really hasn't disappointed since then.
No, just the one setback off the layoff, and she, like I said, she got back on track in her last race, and hopefully she can continue on today.
All right, Break Even in that 7th race today, which is the Grade 3 winning colors. The final race on the program is the Grade 3 Mint Julep, which is 1 mile and 16th on the turf course. You have two horses in there. You have Juliet Foxtrot and Beau Recall, the 1st and 2nd choices on the morning line in that race, too. Tell me about them, Brad.
Well, Juliet's coming off a layoff. Ran against as good a filly, Marygrass horses, you know, from a mile and a 16th as you could run against between Uni and Marcassi's filly that
yeah,
I think's running the Bouquet next week. But, you know, she ran against some of the best
the best fillies in the country last year, and you know, ran very, very well against them. She's a graded winner, race in California. Very unlucky to not win that. I think she led every jump except the very last one when Basilica nipped her at the wire, and then she galloped out in front. So she's a really, really nice filly that has been ready to go for a while. She's one that's obviously we were pointing for Keeneland, and you know, obviously with the setback with no racing, we had to take a deep breath and relax a while, but she's ready to go. I'm excited about her. Last two works at Keeneland on the turf course have been went extremely well, and I think she's set up for a big race, and hopefully she gets a good trip there. She likes to be up close, and I think there's a little bit of speed in there where she could be tracking a horse or two, which I would like to see off the layoff. And Floran obviously knows her well, rode her last year, I believe, in every start, and I think she's set up for a big race today.
How about Beau Recall?
Beau had the winter off, come back, and has gotten ready really quick. She's moving every bit as well this year as she was last. She had a little issue with a splint bone last fall after the Santa Anita race, and has rebounded extremely well and quick. I didn't really think she would get ready this soon, but she's not a big filly, and she's really, really taking shape quick. Once again, her last few works at Keeneland have been very, very well. And honestly, I feel like she's working better this year than she was last year, leading up to some of her bigger efforts last year. I mean, she's I'd say just an average workhorse, and last year and this year, I think she's showing a little more of the morning. So I think she's set up for a big effort. I think she's going to have to get a trip, a clean run down the track. She's got the one start here at Churchill. Last year, Derby Day, she was able to pick off a grade two, and you know, she obviously, once again, beat some very, very good horses in there. And, you know, I think she's set up for a big effort as well.
You know, Brad, you're always so positive. You always have this great enthusiasm when you join me here on the program, and it's always a delight to talk to you. But considering the fact that you grew up right there in the shadows of the Twin Spires in Louisville, to now be winning and be in contention in all these big races that you grew up watching, what's that like? That has to be so cool.
Yeah, it is for sure. I mean, you know, I can remember some of the horses that won these races. And obviously some of the races that they've changed names, but I can remember, you know, a lot of the horses growing up that, you know, trainers that I idolized and, you know, were able to pick those races off and win them. And you know, it's kind of cool to look back and say, you know, I can remember, you know, watching that horse win that race and, you know, 25, 30 years ago and as a kid, and then, you know, we're able to win a race like the Fall City or, you know, whatever it may be, the Clark Handicap or the Mint Julep, you know, and to you know, be able to pick off one of those races means a lot because they, like you said, those are races that I grew up watching and, you know, idolized those guys, the jocks, the trainers, and all of them.
Yeah, I mean, you started walking hots for Frankie Brothers and Jinx Fires, and those were guys that a lot of prospective trainers looked up to. Now there are prospective trainers that are looking up to Brad Cox and watching you every Saturday. That's really neat.
Yeah, it's cool, and hopefully, you know, like Jinx Fires, for example, I mean, he's very good with young horses when I was, you know, walking hots for him as a kid, and, you know, he was effective in, you know, the races like the Bashford Manor and stuff like that years ago. So it's neat to look back and look at that stuff and, you know, look forward and try to win races like that as well.
Well, Brad, listen, appreciate the visit here this morning. I'll let you get back to work, and thanks so much for your time. Like all of our guests who appear on the program, we'll get you a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. And good luck today, and good luck with Monomoy Girl this year too, and all your runners, by the way. Good luck.
Thanks, Mike. Talk to you guys soon. Thank you.
All right, Brad Cox here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Just a fantastic ambassador for our sport. You heard me use that term with George Bolton. Brad Cox is right there, cut from the same cloth. Loves his horses, has a passion for the game, and really, you think about what he has done over the past several years, has really been on just an unbelievable roll. Don't forget that if you're not already doing it, you should be checking out Blood Horse Magazine and Tablet, and you should be checking out the Blood Horse website. You can go to bloodhorse.com to learn more, and don't forget to download your copy so you can read the Blood Horse every single week. Great, great source of information. It's my homepage on my computer, as a matter of fact, and they have great information, great writers, and great articles there at bloodhorse.com. Equinefarm.com. Going to get to a break. I'll come back with your Kentucky Bred Spotlight right after this on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for racing's biggest events.
Power.
Taprit is still there. Master Plan is gaining. Master Plan at Taprit. Taprit still in front. Master Plan too late. Taprit will do it.
Passion.
It's Taprit. He makes another step forward on his way to Churchill. Well done, young man. We'll report home four lengths to the good.
Performance.
It is Taprit and Jose Ortiz in the Belmont Stakes.
Gainsway Stallion Taprit, a $1.2 million yearling turned classic winner and millionaire. Following a precocious stakes-winning two-year-old campaign, Taprit set a new stakes record in the Grade 2 Tampa Bay Derby before capturing the Grade 1 Belmont Stakes in his three-year-old season. Among the best bred sons of Taprit ever to enter stud. Out of Grade 1 Spinaway Stakes winner and multiple Grade A Stakes producer, Appealing Zofie. His exceptional first foals are arriving now. Taprit, standing for 12,500 at Gainesway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
Bloom Racing. Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Bloom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pinhooking, and private race management.
Pulling away from Come Dancing, Mopetism, and the others, Midnight Bizou leaves no doubt today. She won the FIPS in hand.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Bloom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now, get in on the action at bloomracing.com.
An undefeated graded stakes winner on the track, Algorithms has sired over 70% winners from starters. His top runners include multiple stakes winner and grade 3 victor Recruiting Ready, multiple stakes winner and graded stakes performer Taylor Spirit, and juvenile stakes winner South Bend. In the Pennsylvania Derby, Algorithms notched his first grade 1 winner with a thrilling victory by Matt Wizard. In the ring, his juvenile sold up to $275,000. Algorithms, standing at Claiborne Farm.
Good news! Live racing has resumed at Santa Anita Park, and although the public will not yet be admitted, you can play the races at the Great Race Place by logging on to First Bet. That's the number one, stbet.com, or you can download it at the App Store. First post time on Saturday and Sunday will be at 12:30, and our main event Saturday is the Grade 3 $100,000 Honeymoon Stakes for three-year-old fillies at a mile and one-eighth on turf. Fans, be sure to mark Saturday, June 6th on your calendar, as we'll have a total of seven stakes on a blockbuster program that'll be highlighted by the Grade 1 $400,000 Run Happy Santa Anita Derby, the Grade 1 $300,000 Gold Cup at Santa Anita, and by the Grade 2 $200,000 Santa Anita Oaks. That's all on Saturday, June 6th, so make sure you're ready to play at firstbet.com or via expressbet.com. Santa Anita, world-class racing now through June 21st.
Hi, this is Penelope Miller, and you're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by FarmPaint.com.
Well, welcome back. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, getting ready to wind down this jam-packed edition of the Equine Forum. But it is time, before we do that, for your monthly Kentucky Bred Spotlight, brought to you by the KTOB and the Kentucky Thoroughbred Association. You know, we're all looking forward to what promises to be a September to remember here in the Bluegrass. And although the Kentucky Derby has moved to a different date, it remains the world's most important race. There's no doubt about it. Well, following this year's Run for the Roses on September 5th, two of the biggest yearling sales of the entire year will make Kentucky the epicenter of the thoroughbred business. The Fasig Tipton Selected Yearlings Showcase will take place September 9th and 10th, and the Keeneland September Yearling Sale runs from September 14th to the 26th. And now that racing has resumed in Kentucky at Churchill Downs, with upcoming meets scheduled at Ellis Park and at Keeneland, we want to salute Kentucky's industry stakeholders for coming together under these unprecedented circumstances, and we look forward to September, which is shaping up as the greatest month in the history of Kentucky horse racing. For more information about the latest on racing and breeding in the Bluegrass or basing your thoroughbred operation here in Kentucky, all you have to do is visit KentuckyBred.org. Yeah, special times still ahead here in the Bluegrass, no doubt. Well, our poll question today, or question of the day, What is the greatest race you have ever witnessed in person? So many of you have emailed me. Many of you have responded there on Twitter and on Facebook. Appreciate that and appreciate everybody tuning in here this morning. My thanks to all of our guests who made this show possible, including Mike Smith, who took the time to join us this week on Red Brand Radio, Lacey Gaudette, George Bolton, Acacia Courtney, and Brad Cox. Been a fun couple of hours. Don't forget to follow us on social media at HRN on Twitter and Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook and Instagram. And don't forget to check out Red Brand Radio. It comes your way Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday this week, 3 to 6 Eastern. Our entire schedule at horseracingradio.net. For my producer, Lee Delapina, in our Lexington studio, for Chauncey handling our social media, I'm Mike Penna. Thanks for listening, and go Steelers.